information you are about to hear will startle you. The silent infestation continues to spread worldwide, literally eating your health away. Dr. William Kellis is founder of the Comprehensive Health Centers, which are regarded by fellow professionals as the premier alternative health facilities, integrating medical, dental, and chiropractic with natural therapeutics. Burton Goldberg, author of The Definitive Guide to Alternative Medicine, calls Dr. Kellis's comprehensive centers the ideal clinic, as has been proven by his tremendous success with his patients. After contracting a crippling illness, forcing him to face his own serious health challenges, Dr. Kellis focused all his efforts on regaining his health, culminating in his doctorate in nutritional biochemistry. With expertise in microbiology, biochemistry, immunology, and toxicology, he continues to provide state-of-the-art research and, more importantly, results to those who seek him out worldwide. Listen to this tape and the facts I am about to present to you very closely. They concern the spread of parasites in our food systems, our water, and our bodies. What you don't know, you need to be aware of. Fact: new studies reveal that over 50% of the population is hosting parasites as I speak to you today. Fact: 1.25 billion people worldwide are already affected by some form of parasite. Fact: worms can lay up to 200,000 eggs a day in your lungs and other areas of your body. They can also grow up to 18 inches in length. Fact: you could have parasites right now and not even know it. Let's join Dr. Kellis now as he explodes the myths and delivers the shocking truth concerning this rampant health issue.
Good morning. We're here in San Diego, California with Dr. Bill Kellis, and our topic of discussion is what is now being called the plague of the 21st century, parasites. Good morning, Dr. Kellis.
Good morning, Dave.
Dr. Kellis, why don't you explain to our listeners exactly what a parasite is?
Boy, I'll tell you, a parasite back in 1972 almost destroyed my life when I got sick in South Spain. I'll tell you what it is. It's a live organism. It reproduces as many as 200,000 a day and secretes toxins into your body. There's over 1,000 different species, and they're scavengers. Possibly 85% of our population is considered having parasites, and what we've seen in our practice is about 50% or better.
Are you saying that these parasites can reproduce up to 200,000 a day?
Up to 200,000 a day, and in fact, they come in different flavors, so to speak. You have the cysts, which are like the eggs, and the trapezoids, which are like the bodies. The bodies come in, and they can cause acute diarrhea because your body says, I don't want this, and tries to get rid of it. Yet at the same time, the cysts come in and just stick on the lining of your body. And in some of these, the head grows, and the head will actually grow inside the lungs. You'll have the babies inside the lungs like a roundworm, and the head will hold on while the body will cut off and slough off, and you'll have different bodies coming out. That's why you'll see parts of parasites come through in the stool. I've had people bring them in jars, and they're about as big as your thumb, which means that parasite's got to be 19, 20 inches long.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, you talk about different kinds of parasites. What are the most common kinds that we're going to find here in the United States?
Well, let's break parasites up a little bit. First of all, we talk about worms and amoebas. Those are the two we're talking about today. But along with that, a parasite is anything that lives off of your body to the detriment of your body. Give an example. A parasite can be a virus, could be a bacteria, could be what we call mycoplasma, which is kind of a bacteria-virus type thing, and a fungus. Fungus is expected to be on about 50% of the people. And I will tell you this, those who are fighting fungus cannot get rid of parasites.
What are some of the symptoms that a person may experience with parasites in the body?
Well, I'll tell you what. Some of the symptoms are from fungus and some are from parasites. Because, as I say, the parasites will destroy the bedding so the fungus grows. But here's some of the symptoms. Headaches. Simple things like itchy nose or itchy anus or itchy ears. Forgetfulness. Gas. Bloating. Blurred vision. Things like simple bedwetting. Kids that can't clear on bedwetting can have parasites. Pain in the back of the thighs, shoulders, in the neck, that neck type pain, and low back pain. Low energy, fatigue, sugar cravings, water retention. A lot of people think their weight gain is because of fat, and in fact it may be water retention because you're trying to dilute the poisons. from these creatures. Other people have weight loss because they can't get their nutrients. So it's something that destroys the normalization of weight. But a big one that I see is asthma. You see kids with their lungs, and they can't breathe clearly because roundworm lives in their lungs and then goes down their esophagus.
So you're saying that asthma can actually be tied to parasites?
Well, I'll tell you, there's a young boy who came to our practice. He had asthma and ADD, attention deficit disorder. And when we went and treated the roundworm for the asthma cleared up, and then we treated the fungus that was accompanying the roundworm, because they tend to go together, and essentially the ADD cleared up, and he's a normal, happy kid. Dave, I want to impress upon you how far-reaching this is in this country. Simple things like nail biting, just playing with your hands and your fingers and your nails and that type of thing, the fidgeting around, the things that a lot of Americans have, the short attention spans, all those things can be caused by parasites.
Doctor, are there any chronic problems that these parasites may cause?
That's a great question, Dave. Essentially, the chronic problems are things like arthritis, colitis, lupus. You can even have multiple sclerosis and, in some cases, ALS. Multiple chemical sensitivity, any gallbladder problems. 35% of the people in the United States lose their gallbladder, and only half of those people get it resolved because oftentimes the parasites are still there even after you've taken the gallbladder out. Fibromyalgia, that's pain anywhere in the body, the chronic fatigue, the tiredness of the body. Just anorexia, bulimia, things like that, because you're not getting the nutrients and therefore you have a problem.
What about some more serious problems?
Well, serious, you go all the way down to cell necrosis, liver damage, the kind of things that eventually cause death, and oftentimes that's after a debilitating wasting of the body.
It sounds as though you're talking about a majority of the population. How do these parasites enter our bodies?
Well, they can enter our bodies many ways. In fact, when you think about the ways they can enter our bodies, they're ubiquitous. They're all around, so they're on your hands. Under your nails, they can live under a nail for up to 2 months.
Wow.
They're on red meat and pork and things like that, and fish and salads. But a lot of time it's our incomplete cooking or incomplete eating, things like that. You get them from water. Waterborne parasites are things like Cryptosporidium, Giardia. Those weren't even considered pathogenic as recent as 20 years ago.
Now, you talk about the water. Are you talking about household water, the water that I'm drinking every day?
Well, you know, that's an interesting thought. Giardia, of course, has been known to be for outdoors. When you drink that pristine water, you may get Giardia because the beaver up the stream is excreting Giardia, and that's why they call it beaver fever. Essentially, you can get it, your dogs can get it, cats can get it, but now they're having problems with it creeping into the house. Things like Cryptosporidium, New Jersey, New York area, they were having problems with Cryptosporidium getting into the water supply, and, of course, deaths involved with that. Parasites can cause disease and death.
Now, we've been talking a lot about adults, and I take it a lot of these problems that you talk about are adult-related. What about our children? Are they at risk, such as we are?
Well, they're more at risk because children essentially tend to put their hands in the ground, like on the grass in parks and things like that, and then they put everything in their mouth. So if you're going to go hand-to-mouth, that's where you get parasites. The other thing is they go to the daycare centers and things like that, and they pick up parasites from any of the kids who put their hand to their mouth. So they spread it very rapidly in the daycare centers and some of the things we do, and then we pick it up. We can pick it up through changing the diapers. We can pick it up through kissing and hugging and the things that we do. Normally, mother picks it up from the child, then mother kisses and hugs with the father and the other kids, and then the whole family gets it. So once your family has it, the whole family has it.
So you're saying the child can actually be the person bringing parasites into the home?
Well, the child is the most likely one, and you can get it through any saliva, any mucous membrane. That's your eyes, your nose, your ears, your mouth. We think about it, the grass, as the animals do their thing. The animals also go outside. They can pick up parasites. They come into the house. They do things on the carpet in the house. You can get it in the house or outside the house. The dog comes in and the cat comes in, and they leave these parasites in the carpet, and the kids crawl around on the carpet, and they pick it up. And then you sit there and change the diapers of those kids, and you get it because you can pick it up out of the diapers. And fruits, think about the fruits and vegetables you eat. The fruits are sitting there, like if you go to a stand and you pick up some strawberries. How many of you eaten the strawberries on the way home, not even washing them? And let me make a point here. The people who pick the fruits and vegetables in Mexico, where people go, I wouldn't eat any of that food, I wouldn't eat any of those tacos, and all that kind of stuff, are essentially the same people who are picking the fruits in the United States. And it doesn't take a visa for a parasite to cross the border. So essentially what you have is you have vegetables and fruits. Anytime you're eating those, you could get it. Red meats, anytime you're eating those, you can get it. And uncooked meats and things like that. If you've ever had Montezuma's Revenge, it's put a trapezoid, which is the chicken, in you, and then it planted the cyst. If they gave a drug for the chicken, killed the chicken or the parasite itself, the cyst hatches later on, and you go from acute diarrhea phase to a chronic illness.
So what you're saying is that I could possibly have these eggs, or cysts, as you say, hatching inside of me?
Not only hatching inside of you, but the amazing thing is people from the south of the United States, all over, are in an area called a subtropic. Let me define that. In med school, they teach for 2 weeks a course called tropical disease, which teaches about all the parasites. But most doctors say, well, if I'm not going to be in Fiji, it doesn't matter. Well, the reality is any place that doesn't freeze in the wintertime is a place where you can have parasites. So the whole southern United States is a problem. Now, does that mean the north is safe? Not at all. Let me share with you something. First of all, the same fruits and vegetables are going up there. The same immigrants are coming in from other countries. The third world countries are coming in. You vacation in southern areas. And here's the big one. In the 60s, we let the cat out of the bag. The sexual revolution says, if one person you have sex with has a parasite, and we're talking about something that reproduces 200,000 a day, and they give it to you, you instantly are a carrier of parasites. And that's why everybody's found these fungal infections going rampant, is because the parasites are tearing up the bedding of the bacteria that protects us against fungus.
So what you're saying is that this problem is not specific anymore to any region or area of the country. It is actually a countrywide problem.
Absolutely. And country means north and south alike.
Now, obviously, we're talking about a problem here that's escalating beyond belief. Do doctors know how to look for parasites? Are they trained to look for parasites?
Well, they're trained how to look for parasites, as I said, but it's a two-week course, which is a pretty short course in the period of a complete medical exam. I'll give you an example. Dr. Leo Gallen, who's a medical doctor in New York, had a colleague named Dr. Herman Bueno from Colombia. In fact, that's where you're going to learn about parasites are from the people who come from the countries. Well, they'll know all about parasites. But he found 197 chronically intestinally ill patients. Over half those patients had Giardia. Half of them. Now, 31 of those were misdiagnosed as irritable bowel. See, we're satisfied with a diagnosis which is simply a restatement of the obvious. You have an upset stomach, so they call it irritable bowel. You have high cholesterol, so they call it hypercholesterolemia. You have low blood sugar, so they call it hypoglycemia. Those are not diagnoses. Those are restatement of the obvious that was on the symptom form. What we've got to do is get into the root cause, and when you get in the root cause, you find parasites a lot of the time.
So in reality, the doctors really don't know what they're looking for out there.
Well, yeah, and we haven't really made a point of teaching them that and getting involved in the issues. But it's not the doctors. The doctors would treat it in a heartbeat if the labs could find it. And what happens is the labs have antiquated techniques where they don't find them. Now, we've been working with some labs that have better and better techniques, and it's amazing. You may not even see the parasite. The only way you find out there's a parasite in your body is the immune modulators in places like your saliva that are constantly dealing with it. If the modulator that fights with Entamoeba histolytica, which is a parasite, goes off, well, there's a good chance that Entamoeba histolytica is in your body.
Is this a problem that's getting worse in our country? Has it stabilized to any degree?
Well, it's pandemic. I mean, anybody who knows anything about what's going on in healthcare, the Center for Disease Control is overwhelmed with these types of problems because of the sexual revolution, because of the increase of immigrants, because of the fact that the food handlers in your favorite restaurant and the people behind in the back preparing the foods and cleaning the foods and doing all those types of things are coming from these third world countries. Now, this is not down on a third world country. Let me make it real clear. That's where we're getting it. But we have an obligation, I believe, to test food handlers before they handle food, like most other countries do that are aware of the parasite issue.
Now, you talk about the parasite issue, and you talk about some of the experiences, at least you have to me prior, that you've seen in your clinic. Can you maybe share with our listeners what you've seen?
Well, I've seen people, as I said, bring in jars of pieces of parasites. I've seen people talk about them coming out in the toilet after they've cleaned out. I've seen people actually put the strings down their throat. There's a string test, and pull out parasites attached to the string. And in the process, get sick at looking at the parasites coming out of their own system.
Anybody would. What about the size of these parasites? Do they range?
When you get into roundworms and things like that, and some of the tapeworms and some of that, I'll tell you what, you can get worms that are 18 to 20 inches long.
Wow.
And you normally don't get them all at once. I mean, you don't grab a boa constrictor and start pulling it out. What essentially happens is pieces of it break off in the roundworms. But the ones that are even more detrimental are the small ones, the little ones that burrow into your intestines causing leaks in them, things like Entamoeba histolytica, things like Entamoeba coli nana, all those that run together, and they run in a team, and they go through your intestinal lining, and then they let things like Blastocyst hominis go through. And what they've discovered, for example, people like who have arthritic joint problems, they're finding Blastocyst hominis, a parasite in the joint arthritis. And as recent as 1967, to show you how little we know about parasites, they thought that Blastocyst hominis was a fungus, and they figured out it was a parasite in 1967. Which is certainly during a lot of the lives of a lot of us here. So that's how little we really knew about it.
So you're saying that the doctors have actually gone in there and operated on people and opened up knees and found parasites in the joint itself?
In the joint. And not only that, but they find bacteria in joints, in arthritics, and people with ankylosing spondylitis, things like Klebsiella bacteria. And the way it gets there is Entamoeba histolytica burrows through the intestinal lining, and then it leaks through into the system. But if you really look at this, it's an incredible problem, and it's so simple. If you treat a person for parasites, then they should clear. But they don't, because you only treated the chicken. You didn't wait long enough to get the egg when it hatched, kill it before it can make other eggs. And not only that, but you didn't clean under the nails, and you didn't clean the rest of the family. So if you treat one person, you can't get them well. So the doctors have to learn huge amounts of practical how to do this, and I'll tell you, it's taken us years.
Okay, you bring up a very interesting point. What happens if the parasites go untreated?
Well, what happens is degenerative disease. I've spent the last almost 20 years of my life studying degenerative diseases because I have one. It's called ankylosing spondylitis. What this parasite can do, as it did to me, is I had 2 weeks of diarrhea in Spain. And I was in a hospital there, a hotel. They don't keep you in a hospital. Essentially, I had diarrhea and vomiting and diarrhea and vomiting. And they gave you a suppository and they gave you a pill. And when they met in the middle, everything else came out. But what happened is they only did that for a period of 10 days is what they treated me. But for 2 weeks, I was sick because I was so dehydrated and I got my fluids in. Then I went traveling figuring things were better. And what happened is my health deteriorated for the next 7 years to the point to where I was crippled over. And I went from 6'4", 235 pounds, an 18.5-inch neck, 20-inch arms, one of the biggest and strongest guys around, to a guy who was crippled over to the point where my height was 6'1". My weight was 180. And as far as my energy goes and everything, my neck was forward, my shoulders were humped. I couldn't turn to back up a car. And the doctor said at the rate I was deteriorating that I'd probably be in a wheelchair within the next 2 years.
And you're saying this was all caused by a parasite?
It's caused by a parasite, and I'm not the only one who's seeing this. I learned about this from a group in Tennessee, Nashville, Tennessee, called the Arthritis Foundation. It's a group of over 3,000 doctors says, we're going to treat the cause. And Dr. Mason in England came up with it was a Lymex amoeba. Now we've learned that it's many triggers. It's not just a Lymex amoeba, it's a number of amoebas. And once he got that cleared away, they've been clearing arthritis, multiple sclerosis, lupus, all of these major things by dealing with the issue of parasites.
Okay, I'm convinced now that people that travel have a very high risk of contracting parasites. Who else are prime candidates for these parasites here in our country, maybe if they don't travel?
Well, anybody's at risk. And the fact is, it's people who eat, people who kiss, people who share food with each other, utensils, drink somebody else's water, eat in restaurants. It's somebody who eats food from a stand that hasn't been taken care of. The real issue is not the parasites. As I keep saying, they're ubiquitous. The issue is, are we able to protect ourselves from the parasites when they come to us? And let me tell you how the body protects itself. The hydrochloric acid in your stomach digests this trapezoid. That's the parasite that comes in. And it burns it out. It cooks it. And the cyst comes in as a little egg. And when it comes in, you've got the bacteria in your body, Lactobacillus Acidophilus, acid-producing bacteria. That acid keeps such a hostile environment the egg won't hatch, and it passes through untouched, and it won't attach to the intestines. When we're born normally through the vaginal canal, we get bifidus. That bifidus gives us bacteria that implants and helps us defend ourselves. Then we have breastfeeding, which gives us colostrum to support our immune system to attack these amoebas. And also, the breastfeeding grows this bacteria to where we have plenty of this healthy bacteria around to protect us. Now, the first time you get an earache, you're going to sit there and take some sort of sulfa drug. It kills that bacteria that you've been breastfeeding for the last 2 years to put in. We can destroy it within a few weeks of a sulfa drug. And then all of a sudden, the baby doesn't have the bacteria to protect it. Now, to make matters worse, you've got the people who have acne, and we give them 2 or 3 years of tetracycline. Now, just about the time the face clears up, the mind goes fuzzy. So anybody is susceptible to this.
Okay, so let me revisit what you just said. You're saying that babies of cesarean birth, people that have used antibiotics for a long term, are all susceptible to parasites.
All susceptible. And I'll tell you what, when you go to some place like Mexico or you go around the world and we get sick just by drinking their water or eating their food, something's wrong. Bonnie Blair goes to the Olympics and she eats peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and blows everybody away on the competition. And the other Olympic athletes eat the food of the local thing and have diarrhea and vomiting all night long, lose their electrolytes and can't even compete. That's a sign that we have anesthetized ourselves to where we're incapable of going outside the United States and living a normal life. Something's wrong.
Okay, doctor, I'm convinced now that we all have parasites. What do we do now to rid ourselves and get our health back?
Well, Dave, I'll tell you what I do. I make myself an inhospitable environment for parasites. First of all, I take something that makes the worms want to go out. And be aware, anything that affects the worms will not be the same thing you use for the amoebas. So I take 10 days of a thing to get the worms feeling inhospitable and wanting to leave. Then I take something for the parasites for 10 days. And then I do it again for 10 days each one. So it's a 40-day program where I go worms, parasites, worms, parasites. In addition, you need a maintenance product to be used on a daily basis every single day. And it's got acidophilus strains and hotter strains to keep these pathogenic things under control. That's what separates the truly effective programs from a lot of them I've seen out there, where they have one thing fixes all. I don't believe in the silver bullet solution. So in the final analysis, your whole life is a fight against parasites. Because in the end, when you die, they win and they eat your body. So if I knew in the past what I know now, back in 1973 or 1974, I wouldn't have gone through all this disease and pain. My whole life would have been different. And so I recommend that everybody in the United States or Canada takes a hard look at their own life and treats it this way.
Your personal experiences have definitely given us something to think about. Thank you, doctor, for joining and educating us today. We appreciate your expertise on the subject. I know that myself, as well as everyone I've talked to that has heard this information and implemented a program as you described, has had outstanding results.
Remember, as Dr. Kellett said, many Americans are already affected with parasites, causing you to age faster and develop health conditions which are unnecessary. Are you one of the 50%? Remember, if you ignore your health, it will go away. Now is the time to pay attention. To start the process of becoming parasite-free and bring your body to a state of optimum health, contact the person who gave you this tape today.